Hey, everybody, welcome to another installment of Revelation Wellness in Nashville. This is Megan Jock speaking, and I'm so incredibly honored that you have taken some time just to hear my heart today, hear from the Lord through what I have to say, and just to get to participate in life together. Father God, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, God, how you're just reigniting this fire within the church, God, to know and to be authentic and just to sit in your presence, Father, to draw closer to you, Lord, how you're just continually just wooing your people, God, closer and closer to your heart, Father, and how you're revealing more and more of who you are, God. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that comes, Lord, as we pursue you, as we lay down the desires of our flesh, God, the desires of our heart, and we lay those down before your throne and say, God, you are worthy to be praised, God. Above all else, Lord, we want you. We want more of you, God, and we are willing to lay down the things of our flesh, the things we desire, the things that we hope for, God, for the fullness of who you are. God, and in that place, Lord, we receive such wholeness and fullness like we've never experienced before, God. I pray that today for each listener, God, that today we step into new ground, God, that today we step into holy ground, Lord, that we would be willing to set down all we thought we knew before, God, that was true. God, just to step into your presence, Lord, just to stand with open hands and say, God, what do you have for me today? Speak to my heart, God. I'm willing just to let you evaluate the depths of my heart, God, and to reveal anything within it that does not reflect who you are, Lord. God, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So today what I'm going to be speaking to you guys about is something that I'm very passionate about. Most of the time, if people ask me to come and speak, the Lord lets me talk about this very subject because it's something that was so important in my life and pivotal in shifting how I did life. Now, if you've listened to my podcast before, you've known that I've been a Christian since I was probably about 8 years old, is when I very first received Christ as my Savior, but did not start living free until about 2 years ago. Now, what do I mean by living free? Well, even though I had received Jesus as my Savior and was in the Word and was praying, there was somehow a disconnect between what I was reading and what I was actually believing in my mind. So I professed the Word of God, but when it came to actually those things being true for me and myself, yes, Jesus died for me. Yes, he redeemed me. But yes, I still was so uncomfortable in my skin every day, unless I ate exactly right or got my fitness in, unless I did everything right. And I kind of had my own little checklist of what my life should look like. If I was doing all these things, then I had a sense of like feeling good and accomplished. But if I didn't do these certain things, if I didn't get affirmed certain ways, then I had kind of this shame and guilt and kind of just this cloud over me, okay? So when I speak of freedom, I'm speaking freedom from the cloud of oppression, the cloud of needing validated, the cloud of self-hatred, all of those things. So I'm going to clear this up for you a little bit more and kind of how I'm seeing Christians getting gobbled up and not living free, not living in their full potential, but carrying around a bag of shame and guilt and anxiety and fear and all these different things. I hope you find this helpful. If you don't, listen to these podcasts, take what you can from them. These are from my experiences. And number one, be just spending time with the Lord. You listen to the Lord. This has been my journey, my experiences, the important lessons that have shifted my thinking. But you know, those only came from me and God doing life together. Not me searching through a bunch of books, not me trying to do a bunch of self-help programs. All of this stuff that I give you guys comes out of my intimate time with the Lord and what I've walked out, how it's changed my life. And really, it's come from me sitting with the Lord, asking him questions and listening. And if you take anything from any of my podcasts, it should be that. Not Megan said to do steps 1 through 10 and then I'll have complete freedom. No. What I'm saying is go to the Lord. If you're registering that you have some brokenness and there's some things get stirred up within you through this podcast where you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know who I am. I've been living out of all these false identities. Go to the Lord. Let's start doing some work together. I am going to give you some steps that you can walk through, some things that just kind of God gave me as bullet points. Use what you can, like I said, but above all else, learn God's voice, sit with Him, and engage with Him in an intimate relationship so that you too can have your own personalized help through this life, right? And leading into wholeness. He can personalize your program just for you. He loves you that much. He wants to do that. So today I'm going to be talking about identity. And I've used kind of my personal experience at the facility that I used to work at and kind of what God had taught me there. But I also kind of want to use another example today. There is a Dove commercial out there, and I'm going to post that link in the comments below. So if you are at a place where you can watch something, I would suggest that you stop this podcast right now and you click on the link and you watch the video. It kind of sets the format for where we're going from here. For those of you who can't stop this podcast right now and you're just listening, I'll kind of set the scene for you. In this commercial, they bring in a number of women, and they also have an FBI sketch artist come in, and they have the woman. The artist never looks at these women, but he has them sit behind a screen where they describe themselves and their physical attributes to the artist. By him just listening to what they're saying, how they think their face looks, how they think their skin looks, how they think their eyes and their nose and their chin looks, he comprises a sketch of what he thinks they look like. Then he brings in somebody who had met the person that he drew for maybe, I think, an hour or so. They chit chat and they talk. That lady comes in and then she describes the person that had described themselves. The two sketches are comparably different. The person that describes themselves, generally the sketch ends up looking a lot more drab than the person, the stranger, describes them. A lot more dull, a lot more lifeless, a lot more, a lot older. Just has kind of this skewed view to who they think they are and what they look like and how maybe they're perceived by others. Then when you bring in the stranger who describes the person, generally the artwork is much more bright and welcoming and loving. So what ends up happening is these women then look at the two different pieces of artwork and they can see how their inner thoughts, their inner feelings about themselves came out in their words, and what they actually saw or the way they felt about themselves was not true to what other people saw and registered about them. And it's very emotional, and the reason I like that commercial so much is because it reminded me so much of a lot of people that I know and myself for so long, of just how I thought people viewed me, how I viewed other people, and the responsibilities that I took on that were never my own. So when I look at the Christian culture and I look at my brothers and my sisters in the church and I see that, yes, we have all these amazing truths written in the Word of God, right? And we have the Holy Spirit, but I still see like such a struggle for joy, such a struggle for peace, such a struggle for love. And if Jesus came to redeem, then why are we still toying and why are we still so stuck in all this oppression? So again, I want to just kind of share my personal experience and kind of how the Lord brought me into a place of freedom of this. I am going to talk about a little bit of my experience before at the residential facility, because the girls that I worked with before, they had a lot of the same things. The way they would describe themselves as not intelligent, overweight or fat and disgusting or annoying or just anything you can think of that you would describe yourself in a negative way. The residents that I would work with would describe themselves this way. But I could have a girl who was anorexic and wasting away, literally wasting away, almost dying from anorexia, would still describe herself as fat and disgusting, would still pull at her thighs, pull at her skin, like a lot of us do when we wake up in the morning, we go and look in the mirror and we think about things we ate the day before. When we're stuck in that bondage, it doesn't matter what shape or size the girl was, the description was the same. Then I would have girls that would say, I'm not smart, I'm dumb, I can't figure this out. Maybe they'd be failing school. But then when I would hear their conversations between their peers and I would hear just talking with them, I would see how incredibly intelligent this girl actually was. The truth was, she was actually very intelligent. So when I would try to explain to them, hey, you're not this, you're not that, you're not what you think that you are so convinced that you are, you're actually the opposite of that. It went nowhere, right? Like it went nowhere because that was their truth. That was the thing that they were living out of. So everything that they did in their day or the things that they thought played out of this reality that I am stupid, I am less than, I am not worthy, I am fat and disgusting, I am out of control, I am all of these things. And so the decisions that they made, pretty much everything circled around and served that thought. Even though it was so clearly a lie to me, didn't matter. It was her truth. So again, this is where my journey started shifting and changing. And I started thinking, what lies have I believed about myself that have become my truths? And now they're truth to me. So I can't even see that these things aren't actually true. That they're not actually real. It really freaked me out at that point in my life, because when you start realizing that things that you might believe about yourself might be just as destructive as what I was seeing so tangibly in front of me in somebody else, it tends to mess with you a little bit. When you're not even sure of what you're seeing in the mirror is actually there or just a exaggeration, because your mind for so long has looked at that thing and said it's, oh my gosh, this is ginormous. This is so huge. Your thighs are huge. Your arms are huge. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, but your mind has exaggerated something, or you're so annoying. You know, maybe you have a personality where you're just like, you're annoying. You shouldn't speak. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. See, these exaggerations get bigger and bigger over time because we feed them over and over in time. Nobody loves you. Nobody really loves you. Nobody will ever fully accept you. You're too much. You're a burden. On and on it goes. But that's your truth. So now everything that you do basically shovels dirt all around that thing. The way you interact with others, the way you interact with yourself, the way you do social media, the way you handle your job and your coworkers, all kind of comes around this truth of I am dot, dot, dot. And most of the time when those I ams are dot, 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 very destructive, we know that's not God's heart. That's not your father. That's not God speaking to you. That is not your identity. That's not your God-given identity. So I started asking the Lord some questions because I wanted to know, what is it? Why is it so consistent, Father? Like, what are the common denominators between, at this point, I had seen hundreds of girls, right? And I was starting to see the same thing kind of playing out. Like, the thing that they were probably the most strong in, they thought the complete opposite of themselves. And even though it was completely apparent to me, it wasn't to them. So what were the common denominators between these girls? And at that point, God just gave me such an openness just to see so much in such a short amount of time, to start taking the common denominators out of the stories and putting them together. So that's what I want to share with you today. When we don't know identity, this is how I started seeing a skewedness in identity, a skewedness in how we perceived ourselves, and in this instance, how these girls perceived themselves. The number one thing that I started seeing as a common denominator was that whatever this lie was, the seed was planted when they were young, vulnerable, and had no concept of truth at all. So when you're little, you're constantly looking to adults around you. You're looking to authorities around you. You're looking to somebody to kind of show you the ropes, right? You're new at this life and you're just looking for someone to show you the ropes. So I was starting to see how the enemy had kind of come around these individuals when they were young, had no chance. And can I just tell you, this is what fuels my righteous anger towards the enemy, towards the devil, why I will forever do what I can to speak truth, speak life into people, because seeing how just ruthless the enemy is to destroy children, to come around them and try to take their innocence, try to take every ounce of their being and destroy them, fuel something in me, and it should fuel something in you too, to not be quiet. When you gain your freedom, to not be quiet about the truth of Jesus Christ and his redeeming blood, because it's sick what the enemy does to children and how he tries to shut them down and shut their mouths and just isolate them and destroy them so they have no voice. And we are powerful. Each one of you is powerful. The kingdom and God, he puts something in you. I don't care if you see it or you don't see it. You are special. You are so unique and special. And you being you manifests the sight of the Father of God that nobody else in this life ever could replicate, ever. And if the enemy can get you to not shine just that certain way, then this world misses out on a piece of the Father that he intended to be shown through you, being free to be fully yourself, to not being tied down by shame of who you are and your what the world likes to label awkwardness, is a side of the Father that only you can show. But the world and the enemy loves to say, that's weird, that's not welcome here. But when you will allow yourself to be free and to shine, then God gets to shine himself, and it frees people. It frees other people, and the enemy hates that. He hates seeing God's people free just to be who he created them to be. Okay, so that's my little tangent on that, and you will probably hear more of it because, as you can see, I'm incredibly passionate about this. So number one, first things that happened to all of these girls, like I said, the lie was started when they were younger. Something happened to them. A person said something to them that started just working around in their little brain like, oh, I am different. I am weird. I am awkward. Oh, I'm not smart. I am just here to be used. You know, so if some of you have sexual abuse or physical abuse, I'm just here to be used and abused. That's my purpose in life. For other of you who have false responsibility put on you, you know, it's my job to make sure everything runs well. It's my job to stay in control. Something when you're younger or when they were younger started there. The second thing I started noticing that it was reinforced by authority. So now this insecurity, this thing starts happening, and it's reaffirmed by authority, people that the children would be looking to for truth, for guidance, for leadership. The lie is actually reinforced by some type of authority around the child. Again, not knowing the voice of God at that age, not knowing what's going on, looking for truth somewhere other than God, because at this point, their authority has not taught them how to do that, then that lie gets deeply rooted within them. Okay? So we have a couple years of where I was just seeing the children now had taken the lie, these things start happening, and now they're being reinforced by authority around them. And then when they get a little bit older, now the lies are getting reinforced by other schoolmates or people around them, maybe peers, different people like that, that I really do believe that the enemy uses other people to help solidify whatever lie that he knows that you're latching onto. So maybe your friends are reinforcing like the awkwardness, or, oh, you really are weird. You do this or you do that. There's not strong believers planted around these children. So they continually keep shoveling worldly view, keep shoveling up, oh, I don't understand you, so you're awkward. Oh, I am completely broken myself, so that's why I'm abusing you. That's what I just kind of started seeing also, was that the authority figure, people around them started just kind of reinforcing, kind of just pushing that seed a little bit deeper into the child. By the time these girls got to about adolescence, even before that, the lie had already taken root now. So now they're old enough to reason, they're old enough to kind of see truth and lie. But the thing is the lie had already become the truth, making it nearly impossible for them to see the difference between, oh, no, this isn't true for me. That was just placed on me. Now, because there has not been any teaching or growing in this avenue, the lie became the truth. So now we're no longer even looking at that lie as, is this a lie? Is this truth? What is this going on? The lie had become the girl's truth. Okay? So now we can't look in the mirror and see that we're wasting away. The truth is, we are fat and we're disgusting. We take up too much space. We can no longer see that it's not our responsibility to take care of, you know, maybe you had a drug addicted mom, or maybe, you know, other people around you when you were a child, you were put in a situation to where you had to care for. At this point, like I'm saying, I saw more consistently probably about preteen age. We can no longer see that this isn't our responsibility. We've already taken it on our shoulders. This is now our responsibility. Fill in the blanks for yourself. I hope this is kind of resonating with you guys, or you're being able to kind of translate for your own story. Now, as far as from this point on, what I saw was that everything served that lie. Again, how they interacted with other people, how they interacted at school, how they treated themselves when they were alone, how they did social media, how I did everything. I'm going to own this for myself, because there were a lot of lies that I took on myself as a child and growing up that when I got free, I thought, whoa, I did everything to serve these lies, and living out of these lies, continually needing validated by people. If that's something that you have, which is pretty rampant in today's world, needing worth, needing validation, then we will get into relationships that we never really wanted into. We just wanted validated. We will spend our money. We will spend our time. We will spend our health in just making sure that everybody else is taken care of. We will spend our thoughts. We will spend our emotions. We will spend everything on just feeding that lie unknowingly. By making sure that we're in control, if maybe a lack of control was something that you experienced as a child, and then you took on the lie that you have to be in control, look at your life. Look at how your money is spent. Look at how your time is spent. Look at how your health is spent. Look at how all these different facets of our life start spinning into this web of just to be able to maintain our head above the water, to feel worthy, to feel our identity. Our identity gets so wrapped up in all these things and all of these lies that were never meant to be. But this is how the enemy works. And this is why I'm so passionate about this. When you're a child, you have no clue. He can put his little finger into your identity all over the place. But then truth comes. And then the father comes for his children and he says, no more. A new day. I'm going to free you. So I want to share with you some of the steps to freedom. Some things that I want you to go into your quiet place with the Lord, and I want you to ask some questions. I want you to just spend some time with God getting free and doing the hard work. Being willing to look at past memories. Being willing to look at past hurts. Because on the other side of this, we are getting free. It is time for God's people to start living their God-given identity. And it's going to take some courage to go back to dark spaces where we barely survived the first time. But when we do, when we will this time go back with the Father in hand and say, God, I'm not sure I can do this. You take his hand and you say, but I want you more, and I want freedom more, and I want to know who I was designed to be, and I want to know what my life would look like if I was under the authority and the identity that you created. Not man, not my parents, not my friends, not my aunts and uncles, who you said I was, who my original design was intended to be. So we're going to go back there and we're going to be courageous together. The first thing I want you to do when you enter into that space with God, I want you to take a journal and I want you to go and I want you to pray, ask God to just illuminate your heart. Just say, God, let's do this. And I want you to ask God, what truth do I believe about myself that is actually a lie? This is something that I still do. I keep letting God show these lies to me. Like I said, you don't know what you don't know. And when that's about yourself, that's sometimes scary because you think you know yourself pretty well. But we're going to let God lay out some things for us. God, what are some lies that I believe about myself that I think are true? So go ahead and pause this podcast. I want you to spend your time with this first, and then we'll go ahead and move on, and you can hit play and you can do the next part of this. The second question I want you to ask is, when was the first time I entertained this lie and it became my truth? So for this, I like to ask the God for everything. When was the first time I believed it was my responsibility to save? When was the first time that I took on that I was too awkward and too weird? When was the first time that I took on that I was too much? Who was involved? Who spoke that to me? What did somebody do to make me feel insignificant? What happened? And I want you to journal that experience, everything you can remember. And maybe there's a few that come up. I like to deal with, you know, however many lies God brings up at one time. Most of the time, he doesn't like to overwhelm. So most of the time, I get one or two at a time, and I do work with those. And that's plenty. And then he is so faithful to continue to renew me. And I continually ask questions. Like I said, I still do this process just to let God continually reveal lies that or truths that are actually lies for me. So you're going to ask him that question, journal through that. Like I said, for some of you, you may have encountered some severe abuse in your past. I understand that this is hard stuff to look at. I also want to make note that I am not a counselor. I am simply sharing with you guys how the Holy Spirit led me through a process. And so I just want to make note of that. I'm not counseling you. I'm simply sharing my own personal experience with you. But so go ahead and journal with that. Ask the Lord to show you exactly when that time was. Show you where he was at even in that, if he had any part of that. Ask the third question is, what is the truth, God? So after you journal about the experience and when you took on that lie as your truth, spend some time with God in silence asking him, what is the truth? What is the truth about that? What does he say about you? On the fourth question, I want you to ask, what has this lie cost me in my life and in my relationships? Really assess what living out of these lies has cost you. It's in that place when we can actually feel the cost of the lie that we have a righteous anger well up within us. And I want to be very clear. When you start processing through these past memories, that we don't hold offense or that our anger is not geared towards the person who said something. It's easy to do that. It's easy to say, well, that person said this. And from that moment on, when I was a child and I didn't know any better, then that's what really sunk into my heart. And now, like, I've lived my whole life out of a fear of not being enough because that person, it's not the person. It's not the person. We can point fingers all day long. It's the enemy. This is a spiritual battle, my friends. People get used for the enemy's tactics. People are broken too. We can't go around hating people and pointing fingers and saying, you ruined my life. It's not that. That if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the enemy, and then you take that anger and then you go and you set as many people free as you can, because if you want to get back at him, then you free other people and you give them their voice back and you give them their identity back through Jesus Christ. That's how you get the enemy back. Not by getting revenge on somebody else, not being angry at people or situations. I understand it hurts, and it's very easy to look at the people and the situations and blame and be angry and hold this bitterness within your heart. But not one ounce of who God is or who he came and what he said he was about said, hold bitterness and anger. Not any of that, but forgive and to love. And we can do that when we properly dispense anger and rage in the appropriate place, which is back at the enemy. So look at what this lie has cost you, living it out, how you start seeing taking on false responsibilities, how you've seen you've taken on a false identity, how you've seen that you've, you know, picked, like for me, I picked my occupation off of this lie that I would not be good enough unless I had the right body or the right, you know, then I would be lovable. So I picked my occupation off of this fear of never being good enough. And if I learned about fitness and nutrition, then I would be good enough. And then everybody would love me and yada, 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 right? Like, it cost me a lot of time, a lot of energy. Thankfully, God redeemed all of that. And now I get to do nutrition and fitness out of a pure love and joy. It has nothing to do with my lie of inadequacies. It's nothing to do with that anymore. God redeems. We can look at what the enemy steals and all of this destruction, but once we know the cost, we can refocus. We can refocus our righteous anger, and it can fuel us towards our God-given identity. So that's really all I have in my notes and the things that I wanted to share with you guys. I hope this was clear. I hope that you gained something. As you can see, this podcast is not just something you listen to in your car. This is interactive. We've got work to do. But I'm so sick and tired of seeing my brothers and sisters live out of obligation, out of needing to please people, out of doing the quote-unquote good thing, the right thing, and not having any joy. I mean, we have tons of Christians who line the churches all week long, and they have no more joy, they have no more peace, they have no more hope than the person standing down on the corner. That's it. My Savior didn't die for that. He died so that we may be set free. If we don't know our identity, we're going to continually live in the bondage that comes with a different identity. Living out of a different identity is bondage, because you got to keep doing a lot of work to maintain that identity, because it's not yours. I told a friend a couple years ago, I said, you know what? I'm not trying to plan and prod and figure out how I can be super successful in life. I'm just trying to be me. And that gives me some sort of success, I guess, in the world's eyes. What a better way to build whatever you're building? By you just being you. Because then when I get wherever I'm going, whatever that may be, I'm not having to figure out how I'm going to get to the next place. Because I got to where I'm going by just being me. And I'm going to keep being me. So if I keep being me, then I'm going to keep going in the direction that I'm going. Praise God. Freedom. And that's worth fighting for. That's worth revisiting past memories and asking God to just search and show you and bring things up to the light so that we can do work with them. Now, if you're somebody who has a hard time knowing God's voice, please email me. If you're confused about what I shared, feel free to email me. I would love to just talk with you, share with you, do whatever I can to help you in your own process. A lot of this is contingent on just spending time with God. I can't give you a 12-step program that has it all lined out for you, your steps to success, but I can lead you back to the Father, which is really where you should be going anyway. But sometimes we're not sure how to hear God's voice. You don't hear it preached a whole lot about how to hear God's voice. Some people do. It's becoming more popular. But that's all stuff, you know, we can talk about and we can work through and we can definitely just chit-chat about. So I'll put my email down below. You can email me those questions and we can go from there. I love you guys. Again, I hope this is helpful. And if it is, please take some time just to comment, like, and share. Not for me, but really just to create dialogue and community among other believers and people that are just growing and seeking the Lord. Sometimes you just posting about how this encouraged you gives somebody else courage to do the same thing. So if you could please do that for me, I would really appreciate it. Also, just to wrap out this session, I want to read to you Psalms 139. And kind of how David talks about how the Lord just knows him. And I really believe that this is God's heart towards all of us. In Psalms 139, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Even there your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame has not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in the number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. In verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May this be our heart. May this be our prayer as the Lord searches you and reveals to you your true identity, that we may start living courageously in who He created us to be. God bless you.